I forgot to tell you that when I lived in Shreveport, Louisiana, my sister and I were sent to Camp Winona, W-E-N-O-N-A-H, in Naples, Maine. And my parents had always felt that anyone who sent their children to camp in the summer was trying to get rid of them, because my parents traveled to all four children with them. But a cousin, my father's third cousin, who had been a wiener, who had been raised in Waco, knew about this camp and was sending her two daughters to it. And she thought it was important that my parents send my sister and me to it, although we were older than most children who started camp. And that also was an emancipation. It taught me to live with my peers instead of just with my parents in summer resorts. And I learned to canoe. I learned to swim. I didn't know how to swim until I got there. I learned to play tennis. And that I played a lot when we were first married here in Pittsburgh. And I learned soccer. I was a guard in the soccer team. And baseball. I was a shortstop. And so you ask about my childhood, they're happy memories.
Are these your sports that you really didn't participate in the South?
They may have, but my school didn't have
your school.
Like this. So that going away for the summer opened that world to me.
How many years did you go to camp?
2 years, 1929, 1930, and then I moved to Dallas in 1931. And so I didn't go to camp. Then by the time I got to college, I forgot to tell you this, at Shreveport Newcomb in New Orleans, I was on the basketball team, and the varsity basketball team. And we also played Newcomb ball, which is a little different from regular basketball. And I learned to dive. At Newcomb, you had to have pass your swimming test, so they wouldn't let you graduate. That's education. And so I had to learn to dive, and that's when I got sinus trouble. I still have it. But sports, I was sport. Now I do nothing. In Dallas, I would play golf with a girlfriend of mine who was the same age I was, 15. And her father had taught her. She was a pro. She played with all the pros. And she was willing to teach me. And I was stupid. I said, well, I'll just watch you in the championship flights, and you don't have to waste your time with me. And I should have learned from her, because all my friends in Pittsburgh play golf, and I don't. So that was my opportunity. And so sports was a part of my life at one time. I bicycle and so forth, but I haven't done that recently.
You appear to be vigorous and in good health.
Thank you.
You attribute some of that to whom? Okay, back on track with school, Corey, marriage.
I married Alan in 1938, March 20th. And we moved to Pittsburgh. And I enjoyed, we first lived on the first, very beginning, we lived at the Dithridge Apartments at 144 North Dithridge. We rented subletting apartment from a young minister and his wife, and they left all their utensils there, so we didn't have to rush out to buy things right away. And while we were there for 4 months, we looked around. We found an apartment on, on Whiteman Street in the Hollandan Apartments. It's still standing. And they had little houses by the side. And we were on the second floor in the back. Very hot. They didn't have air conditioning those days. The flat roof. It was very hot. But while we were there, our oldest daughter, Barbara Lynn Burton, was born. L-I-N-N-E. She was born while we were living there. And right after she was born, we moved to Northumberland Street. To 5869 Northumberland Street, which was a double duplex. We lived on the first floor there. And then we moved to, while I was pregnant with Susan Eileen Burton, while I was pregnant with Susan, we moved to Albemarle, 5411 Albemarle, A-L-B-E-M-A-R-L-E Avenue. And we lived there for 27 years. And in that house, we had Richard, Helen, and Jim. So we had five grown married children. And at the moment, we have 12 living grandchildren. And one on the way, and one who died 5 months.
A specific home practices or atmosphere that you sought to create?
Well, we had Friday night. We always lived the candles on Friday. Oh, I have to go back to Shreveport to tell you about lighting the candles. Dr. Brill at Temple B'nai Zion taught us that every Jew has to light the candles on Friday night, Dashim or Saturday. I went home, my parents had not done that. And I said, Dr. Brill insists that we light the Friday night candles. So Mother rushed out to buy candles, and she bought, I still have it, I'll show it to you, the seven branch candlestick. And I asked Dr. Lehoff one time, why did my mother buy a seven branch candlestick and everybody else I see lighting candles lights too? He said, you could do whatever you wanted. Mother just happened to find the seven branch candlestick. And when I got married, she said, you're the one that started just lighting the Friday night candles, so you take the candlestick. And so my children still light the Friday night candles, and we still light the Friday night candles. And Judaism is important to us.
You light all seven candles?
I light all seven candles. In fact, one of my Christian daughter-in-laws came in once, and it was a Friday night, and we were about to have it. She said, Mother, you forgot to light the candles. So she blesses us in Hebrew, too, when she does it.
Did you work outside the house?
Only, not after I married, only that short term as a in nursery school. That's the only work I've done. After that, I became a professional volunteer.
What are some of your volunteer activities?
Well, you want to work up to that now? Early in life, I was on the Emma Farm board many years ago, and I think my second child was a small child. And then I was also on, I'm forgetting what they are already, it's been so long. When I started out in sisterhood, I started out as an officer. I started out as a recording secretary, then I was third vice president, then I was first vice president, then I was president of the Portland Shore Sisterhood. But Visiting Nurse Association of Western Allegheny County, I was on that board for many years until they rotated me. Now when they call me, I was doing other things I haven't gone back to. Then I was on the board until recently of the what used to be known as the Home for Crippled Children. And I was one of the officers who changed that name to the Rehabilitation Institute of Pittsburgh. And I just resigned this year, so they put me on the advisory committee. I retired. They asked me why I was retiring, and I said, because I'm tired. I've done volunteer work for so many years, I think it's time for young people to come in and do more. But on the advisory committee, I still have contact with them. And I used to say, with having five children, I'd be pregnant for a year. I'd be very busy that first year with a new baby. Second year, I needed adults, so I'd do a little volunteer work just to be able to talk to adults. Now, the next year, I was pregnant again, and so the started all over.
Now, your social life after marriage?
We had a lot of friends here in Pittsburgh. My husband knew a lot of people, and together we met new people. And of course, when you raise five children, you meet a lot of people. You do PTA and to work with the schools and work with raising the children, their friends. So a lot of my friends are my contemporaries when I raised my older children. I also have friends among the younger women when I raised my two younger children, because it would be their first child and my fifth, but we're still good friends.
How about family vacations?
We took the best vacations we took were always with the children. And we'd take the children on the big trips to the West, any place. We didn't start going to Europe until after we'd already sent two of our daughters to Europe. They said, how come you're sending us and you haven't been? But our first trip to Europe was a client took my husband over. My husband's a lawyer, as you know, and he needed his lawyer with him in Europe. And while they were in Europe, they called me. He called me and said, meet us here. So that was our first trip to Europe. And that was good. That was 1963. And at that time, I didn't think I could leave our youngest child, but we worked out fine. The older ones were around, and we worked out.
And your dad took you on 2 long trips to Colorado, but...
And other places.
Right.
Since my birthday's in August, I used to keep a list of where we've been for the summer by where I spent my birthday. And on my birthday, it was always a gala event because I wasn't in school like children in wintertime. And my whole family was around me. And we always had a big birthday cake on my birthdays in some strange hotel. And it was always a big event. Now I celebrate with Dr. Freehoff and have the same birthday.
Okay. You mentioned the specific addresses along the way. Would you speak of the neighborhoods themselves?
They're still in existence. They're still first class, maybe in Pittsburgh, you mean. They're still good neighborhoods. And the one in Northumberland was across from the fire station house. And the one in Whiteman was right near Forbes. And then we moved to, oh, I forgot, after we left Albemarle in 1970, we moved to 803 Devonshire Street, which was a much bigger home. We only had two children living with us there last year. One was senior in high school, and one was younger. And that was a big move for us because it was a big house, and we started collecting antiques for it and furnishing it differently than we had when we had small children. And we lived there until 1985 when we moved to this apartment at 5000 Fifth Avenue.
Did you notice any anti-Semitism along the way?
Personally, we never had. We never tried. We had Christian friends and Jewish friends. We never tried to let anyone know we were all to be Jewish. Our Judaism was important to us, and everyone knew that we were Jewish. Even our Christian friends respected that.
Were you and your husband involved in politics?
No, not as such. He's a Republican, and when I moved to Pittsburgh from the South, everyone I knew in the South had been Democrat. Here I was moving to a place where most people were Republicans and people I knew. So I couldn't decide, and I became independent, which I stayed for 40 years. My husband used to say I couldn't vote in the primaries, but the ultimate was I voted for whomever I wanted to stand. But then finally, after 40 years, there was someone running for Senate, a Jewish woman running for Senate in the Democratic Party, and I wanted to vote for her in the primary, so I switched to Democrat. So my husband and I probably cancel out each other's votes. Although he doesn't vote just a vote.
You've gone through, of course, the Depression of the 30s and the Second World War.
And I also went through Governor Huey Long in the Shreveport. When you talk about politics, when you mentioned going through the Depression and so forth, in Shreveport, in Louisiana, you always had to buy your public school textbooks. Some of them were expensive for some of the children. It didn't affect my family. He brought in three textbooks. That was one of his campaign promises that he kept. But I still remember not having to go to buy textbooks under Huey Long. And also during the Depression, which you mentioned, I remember my father paying for bread or whatever it was they gave out in food lines. And he tried to help that way. And I remember, this may have been during the Depression, a lot of indigent people, I guess you would call them bums or whatever, would come to the house in Shreveport. And Mother always gave them something to eat. And the neighbor across the street apparently didn't, and her house was always being robbed, and that house was never being robbed. So my mother always felt that whatever she did good must have paid back. My mother was a very good hearted person.
How about the Civil Rights Movement?
What about?
Well, living in the South when you did, living here, you probably noticed a lot of change about the South and even change here.
Well, I still remember living in Pittsburgh when they were all white salespeople. And I remember when they brought in black salespeople, which now we take for granted as we should. But I remember the feeling of not being familiar with that situation when you came to shop. And in Shreveport, our help was black. And we had good relationships, and it was for years, and we always had Shreveport and Dallas. And there was always good relationship. I never saw any race riots or anything like that.
Did you feel that the Jews related to the blacks any differently than the Gentiles?
I wasn't close to that.
How about your husband's career as it related to you?
Well, he was a very busy, active lawyer, well respected. And as I said, I met him when he was fresh out of law school. We met because he had just passed his bar exam in Pittsburgh. No, in Philadelphia, they took him there. And his father felt he needed a vacation, having just graduated from law school and taken his bar exam. So his father had some unimportant piece of business down in the South. And he asked my my husband thinks he's just a paper handler. But he sent him down, and the people there said there's a Texas Centennial going on in Dallas. Maybe you'd like to extend your vacation and go there. So that's how he got to Dallas, and that's how we had the blind date. Because there was a Texas Centennial going on, that was a big deal. We had, in Fort Worth, which was close to us, we had Billy Rose's Casa Mañana, and that was with Estelle Williams. And we went over to see that one night. We went to the Texas Centennial. The first night I had a date with him at the fairgrounds. He bought a Texas 10-gallon hat that we still have. We wear it to all the costume parties we go to. And it was an exciting time. But during the Depression, all I remember were the food lines and the men on corners were selling apples. And my father trying to help them in what he could imagine. But I think it gave us a sense of balance. I find it hard to waste money nowadays, and I blame it on the fact that I was raised during the Depression.
You feel you've been an influence in your husband's career?
I don't know if I'm an influence. I tried to be, do whatever he needed me to do. He's bright enough, he's Phi Beta Kappa, bright enough to be a good lawyer, and honorable enough to be a well-respected lawyer. And I met his... He's very active in community affairs, and so I've met a lot of people and gone a lot of places with him that I may not have gone otherwise. We go to some of the Bar Association meetings. He's now a member of the American Law Institute, which is an honorary society among the lawyers. We go to those meetings and met some very interesting people.
Okay, now your children, do you like to speak about them?
I'm happy because they both start me. As I told you, it's Barbara, Susan, Richard, Helen, and Jim. And there's 15 years difference between our oldest and our youngest. Because we had the first three, like 3 years apart, and then we waited almost 5-6 years to have the last two. And that kept us young, I think. Because as I told you before, a lot of our friends were young because we were raising our children together. And some of the friends we have today are people who raised our children.
And what about them as adults?
As adults, I'll first tell you more as children than adults. They went to public school to begin with because we were going to public school and we agreed to it. But in Pittsburgh, we were learning that at that time, the private school students went to the better colleges. So we decided to transfer them to private schools. And our girls went to Winchester Thurston and our boys went to Shadyside, but they all started in public schools. And Barbara went on to Vassar. Graduated. Susan graduated from Wellesley. Richard and Jim graduated from Harvard and Harvard Law School. And Helen went to Stanford University and graduated from there. And she got her master's at Michigan in public policy. And Susan got her law degree at New York University. And Richard, I said Harvard. And Helen, all right, I'm taking care of those colleges. And Barbara married Alan Ackerman, Alan L. Ackerman in Pittsburgh. He's a lawyer. He's now in my husband's office, a partner. And they have three children. They have Alan Jr., Elizabeth, and Peter. Alan Jr. is a senior at the University of Pennsylvania, graduating in June. And Elizabeth is a sophomore at Princeton. And Peter is graduating from Shadyside in June. And he has money, if you want to tell about him right now. He's president of student council, and he's one of the three running the newspaper, and he acts. He and his brother both, Alan Jr., they love to act. Even in college, Alan Jr. was acting. So I think as Peter's applying to college, he's making sure they have drama mentor. And Susan, as I said, graduated from Wellesley, and worked in Washington under Ed Lowe in the Washington, D.C. Redevelopment Agency, and met her husband when she transferred, no, Ed Lowe was in New York, when she transferred to New York State Redevelopment, and she met her husband, David Rahm, R-A-H-M, non-Jewish boy, wonderful man. He had graduated from Princeton first and then from Yale Law School. And he was also in this New York State Redevelopment Authority as a lawyer. And they met and married, and they have twins who are 9 years old. And Susan, while she was engaged, was going to New York University Law School. So she's a partner of a big law firm in New York, Kay Scholer. It's a long name, I'll just tell you that one. And David is a partner in another big law firm, Strip and Levine. And they both do a lot of real estate law. She would pass the Coliseum, she had taken care of that. So she just bought the Beverly Hills Hotel for a sheik in California. That was her client, a sheik from some remote island, all rich sheik. I mean, she was a lawyer for that. So they're doing big things in New York, and David does some big things in his firm. And the twins were 9 years old, a girl and a boy. My theory is the good Lord looked down and realized that at the age of 35, Sue may not have another pregnancy, so he said, take one of each. So their whole life changed with those two, because even though they're full-time lawyers, they're dedicated to their children. I said, Susan, something has to give. She's in my social life. Every evening they're with the children, every weekend they're with the children, and they benefited from that, and the children. Then Richard and his wife were confirmed together at Temple for the show. She was Judy Fromson. You know Evelyn and Bob Fromson?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's their second daughter. And they were confirmed together. And then they went off. She went to Wellesley, he went to Harvard, so they still saw each other. And then they got engaged senior year and married in 1968. And he went off to the Vietnam War movement. So she went with him as far as she could. She ended up in San Diego waiting for him there and kept herself working. And then when he came back after 2 years in the Vietnam War, he was in the Navy on a ship. He was a second lieutenant. He had first to go to Newport News. That's an interesting story. When we went to his graduation as a Naval lieutenant, second lieutenant, in Newport News, that after the service, everyone went to their own church or temple for a ceremony. And we went to the oldest synagogue in the South. And they had refreshments for us and showed us underground rooms where I think they hid slaves or something. And it was very interesting, but that also was part of Judaism, but that was done after his Navy experience. And he and Judy went to law school after he left Navy. And he went to Harvard Law School and she went to BU Law School. So they both ended up as lawyers in 1973. And they have three children. They're now living in Philadelphia. He went to clerk for a federal judge there. He's now a partner in the firm there, Decker Price and Rhodes, and he does a lot of litigation. And right now he's doing a lot of litigation for laboratories on the AIDS case. He's been on panels, he's considered an authority on the AIDS, he's written papers on it. And Judy is a partner in Joseph Bergman and Joseph, a smaller firm, because she's still raising her three children. And they both, nowadays you can't say the wife alone raises them, the husband and wife raises them. That's the difference in our day and older times. So Richard and Judy are in Philadelphia, and their children are Benjamin, Lisa and Daniel. Daniel's 4 and Lisa's 6 and Benjamin's 11. Then Bob and Susan, Richard, Helen, I have to say my prayer beads to get to them. Helen and her husband, she met her husband, they were, when we both had AFS students, we met at the bus station meeting our AFS students. And that was her senior year in high school at Winchester. And they were active in Student United Nations. So they were together a lot that year with our AFS students.
What is AFS?
American Field Service. That's where they bring in people from other countries to live with a family. And the school sponsored it. So the girl that came to live with us was Miriam Simon, who just turned out to be a Jewish girl from Brazil. And she spoke beautiful English, and we still keep in touch. She was just married and just had a baby, and we got an invitation for the wedding. I wish I'd gone. And in Brazil, and now she's living in Germany with a German husband. But we still hear from her. And Helen and John met through this and they married right after they both finished college. He went to Case Western Reserve in Cleveland, and when they graduated from college in 74 they graduated, and they went off to Michigan to be graduate.
Where was John from?
Pittsburgh, from near Sewickley.
And his family was also involved with that?
No, his family had a
That's how that's right. Okay.
That's how we met them. And they're also Christian. Three of our five children married out of the faith. But so far they all belong to temples, and so far the children are being raised Jewish. Now Helen has had three children. You want me to stop here?
No.
Helen had Caroline, or Carrie, who's named after my grandmother's. And she will be 6 in February. And then she had Beth, who was born with some development problems and died in 5 months. And then she had Rachel, who was born a year ago. And they live in Cincinnati because John's with Procter & Gamble in product development. If you enjoy Scope, he's in charge of that. If you enjoy Crest, he's in charge of that. And and Helen, because she had a master's in public policy, at one time had her own firm in public relations or in strategic development, and until the children kept her busy, and she gave up the firm. But now she's doing freelance work in that. And after Carrie was born and during Carrie's birth, she worked as an assistant administrator at a small psychiatric hospital in Cincinnati. Told you not to stop me. Now, I haven't gotten to Jim yet.
Take your time.
We have 2 more minutes.
All right.
Or 3. Maybe we
I'll
should.
Do it fast.
Oh, I was going to.
Jim,
okay.
Jim was went to Shadyside, as I said, and then he went to Harvard. And his senior year, he and McKee Winston from Virginia, also not Jewish, met. She went to Smith. And she was Phi Beta Kappa Magna Cum Laude a month before he was Phi Beta Kappa Magna Cum Laude at Harvard. And they married that summer in 1977. And they went off to Europe. They went to Oxford together for 2 years, both studying at Oxford. And then they came back and went 3 years together to the Harvard Law School. And then they moved to Philadelphia and practiced for 2 years. And then they both decided they didn't like law to begin with. So he's now teaching English to 10th, 11th, and 12th graders in Germantown Academy in Philadelphia. And she began working with the Committee for the Homeless, which is the street people of Philadelphia. And she was a professional with them until her 2 children were born. And now she's the vice president of the board and still actively involved. And she was the liaison between the synagogue, the temples and churches and the Committee for the Homeless.
Do they have any children?
They have 2 at the moment. She's pregnant with a 3rd. They have Philip and Eleanor, Ella and Mel, and they're expecting their 3rd in May.